from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Last week, a federal district judge struck down and ruled unconstitutional California's ban on the sale of foie gras, ruling that the ban conflicted with federal law. The ban was based on a law passed by the California legislature back in 2004, and it went into effect in 2008, prohibiting the fatty duck or goose liver made from the engorged livers of these animals created through a force-feeding process, which supporters of the ban have labeled cruel and inhumane. As restaurants rush to put the delicacy back on their menus and the state considers whether to appeal, we discuss the implications of the ruling. What will it mean for diners, for farmers, and overall animal welfare? Joining us from Washington, D.C. is Paul Shapiro. He's Vice President of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States. And Paul Shapiro, welcome to Forum. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be back with you.
Glad to have you back with us. And we also want to welcome Ken Frank, who's with us from Napa this morning, chef and partner in Napa's La Toque restaurant. Welcome, Ken Frank.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Let me begin with you, Ken Frank, if I may. I think you've been jumping up and down over this ruling, happy about it, like a number of chefs who have said it feels like the end of prohibition. What about, let's just go right to the sort of major argument here. What about the argument that has not only continued to be around this ban, but continues to be sustained, that this is inhumane, this is torture, this is cruel?
Well, you know, it's good that we get right to the heart of the matter, because the fact of the matter is that foie gras production in the United States today is demonstrably humane. The activists can't win an honest argument. They have propaganda videos, which are a dishonest argument at best. They try to take exceptions to the rule and find an occasional injured or sick duck and represent that as the norm. That's a disingenuous, maybe dishonest. The fact of the matter is that foie gras farms in America today have gone to great lengths and can demonstrably show that they treat their animals at the highest standard of animal welfare. You know, there's a really excellent piece in the Village Voice called Is Foie Gras Torture that addresses this issue really quite directly, as I think it should be. The reporter was briefed by activists about what to expect. She was also briefed by animal welfare experts about what to look for. She was allowed to take a photographer, visited the farm, and in fact found none of the torture, none of the barbaric, you know, animal abuse that animal activists try to portray as the norm for foie gras. In fact, I would be delighted to take Mr. Shapiro and John Burton to visit Hudson Valley Foie Gras. There's nothing to hide.
Well, let me go actually also to the ruling itself with you for a moment before we talk to Paul Shapiro. It was not based on animal welfare questions, and I'd like some clarity from you on this, because the decision was actually based on the legal argument that the law banning foie gras was preempted by the Federal Poultry Products Inspection Act, and that allows the Department of Agriculture, only the Department of Agriculture, to have jurisdiction over poultry products ingredients. So that's really what we're talking about legally here, and I'm wondering about this because this force feeding takes place before the birds actually reach a slaughterhouse, and the federal inspectors enforce the law. So how does force feeding connect to Poultry Products Inspection Act?
That's a question for lawyers. And obviously the judge has ruled. The law as written is very poorly written. It's ill-conceived on many fronts. It's written so cleverly that they the words foie gras do not even appear in the law. And the claims that feeding ducks as practiced on farms in America today it amounts to torture is simply false. Veterinary experts have inspected these farms, have helped them craft animal welfare standards that they adhere to very strictly, and it's simply not the case that raising ducks for foie gras automatically constitutes torture. Now, these sensationalist videos they'll show you are, in fact, difficult to watch, but they do not represent the mainstream production of foie gras in America today.
Ken, why is this so important to you and your restaurant? I mean, there's been a lot of characterization of the desire for foie gras to be a low level of need, mainly fairly well-heeled people.
Well, foie gras certainly is an easy target for the anti-meat crowd. It's not a well-funded industry like beef and poultry and and pork. But to me, really, it's an issue of freedom. It goes to whether we're going to eat meat or not, whether the government should have a role in determining what we eat and to what extent. Before the government takes a role in what we should eat, who we should marry, who we should worship, what we should read, there needs to be a really compelling case for them to do so. And it's not the case with foie gras.
Ken Frank again with us from Napa this morning, chef and partner of Napa's La Toque restaurant. And Paul Shapiro is vice president of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States. And we'll get right back to that argument about this being cruel and inhumane. Paul, you say what?
Thanks, Michael. There's no doubt that shoving a pipe down a duck's throat and forcing him to consume far more than he would ever normally eat is cruel and inhumane. And California, frankly, was very right to ban this form of animal abuse. This force feeding is what causes the animal's livers to become diseased and to swell up to 10 times their normal size. I mean, most people probably wouldn't want to eat any part of a diseased animal, yet in the case of foie gras, it's the diseased organ itself on which these foodies are dining. So this practice is so inhumane, it's so demonstrably cruel, that it's been legislated against in more than a dozen countries. In fact, in Israel, which used to be the world's fourth largest foie gras producer, the country's Supreme Court ruled that foie gras production violates the already existing prohibition against animal torture.
And there's still a ban within the state that
yes.
remains in place. I just want to
yes, the, yeah, the court's ruling only struck down the sales provision of this law, so the state of California has still determined that force-feeding ducks to be, that it's so cruel that that is still prohibited in the state. I mean, these ducks, if you look at the scientific case alone, the way that these animals are being treated, when the ducks start the force-feeding process, their mortality rates skyrocket 10 to 20 times higher than that of the non-force-fed ducks. This force-feeding, it causes a number of injuries, whether bruising, perforations of the bird's esophagi, and other problems associated with it. In fact, when you look at these so-called humane claims that Ken is making here, the Better Business Bureau actually looked at this. The Hudson Valley foie gras that he is talking about was making all types of humane claims. The National Advertising Division of the Better Business Bureau a few years ago looked at these claims and urged Hudson Valley foie gras to stop making them because it said that it couldn't substantiate these humane claims.
And we're talking not only about ducks, but in some instances geese, and also actually enlarging with feeding 8 times the size of the liver. Don't you also have some data, Paul Shapiro, that these birds experience actual pain, fear, stress, behavioral evidence?
Oh, absolutely, Michael. That's what the science shows. This is what led the European Union Scientific Veterinary Committee to conclude that the practice of force-feeding these birds on a routine basis is inherently inhumane. In fact, in the U.S., there was already a Blue Ribbon panel established called the Pew Commission on Industrial Farm Animal Production. This included experts from the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture to veterinarians, scientists, ranchers, and more. And after studying this issue, they unanimously, everyone from the former Secretary of Agriculture on down, unanimously agreed that force feeding for foie gras needs to come to an end. Yes, there may be some chefs who want to try to confuse the issue by pretending like there's science on their side, but the science is so overwhelmingly clear that what we know to be true just from common sense actually is true, that shoving a pipe down a bird's throat multiple times a day for multiple weeks, it's just inhumane. And for what? Just for a mere table treat that can be sold for an expensive price at a high-end restaurant? There are some things that we simply should not do to other animals. I agree with Ken in terms of having the government getting involved in our own personal lives, yet in this case, when we're talking about the government protecting animals from wanton abuse, there clearly is a role for the government to play to protect animals from cruelty. And if ever there were a case of cruelty, force-feeding ducks for the purpose of foie gras production is it.
Well, the state has until February 6th to actually appeal the ruling, and Wayne Pacell of the Humane Society has gone on record as saying that the state has the right legally to ban products on the basis of animal cruelty, that the legislators can do that. So this does get into not only all kinds of legal wrangling, but freedom issues and issues of choice and so forth. And let's find out what you, our listeners, think about this. In fact, let me invite you to join the conversation with Paul Shapiro and Ken Frank. You may want to weigh in here on foie gras, lovers of foie gras, or lovers who are consider themselves lovers of animals. By the way, those are not mutually exclusive. There are people who I know love foie gras who also love animals. But this does get into a lot of animal welfare and animal humane treatment questions.
Michael,
and I want to hold on a second. I just want to invite my listeners. Let me do that. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, and you can join us now at that number, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. It's 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post questions or comments right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQEDForum. I heard my name. Was that you, Paul?
This is Ken.
Ken, go ahead.
You know, it's interesting that the issue of calling this a diseased liver has come up because HSUS and PETA, I believe, sued the USDA to try to get foie gras banned in the United States. In fact, they lost that lawsuit. And that lawsuit was tossed because it was shown conclusively that foie gras is, in fact, not the diseased organ of a duck. Ducks and other waterfowl have a natural ability to store excess fat prior to migration in their livers. And it is this natural genetic ability that they have that is exploited by foie gras farmers to produce an exceptionally rich and delicious liver. If the feeding, when migration is over, when the ducks stop overeating, which they do naturally, the liver returns to its right to its pre-feeding state with no injury and to completely normal function. Therefore, it is not a diseased liver. And I would dare Mr. Shapiro to state on the air that Hudson Valley sells a diseased liver product, because he'll be sued and he knows it. They already lost.
Michael, what's interesting is that Ken is very fully aware that the breed of ducks who are used in foie gras production aren't migratory birds. He's trying to compare them to other species of birds, but he knows that they don't migrate. These birds aren't a migratory bird as well. Even if you could compare them to migratory geese, those birds don't gorge themselves on massive meals. Those birds take many small meals during the day, and their livers don't come anywhere near to the size that is forced to be swollen in the case of foie gras. In fact, these birds who are being force-fed for foie gras have difficulty even walking, let alone could they possibly fly. Many veterinarians and wildlife biologists have looked at this. They've looked at the livers of ducks who are part of the force feeding process, including coming from Hudson Valley foie gras, and they have found that they've concluded in their expert opinion that these livers are diseased with hepatic lipidosis. At the same time, let's just keep it real. We don't need to have a debate of the scientists to know that shoving a pipe down an animal's throat multiple times a day is cruel and inhumane when the purpose of it is just to produce a so-called delicacy for high-end restaurants. We don't need to do it.
I want to read some comments that are coming in, and I want to go to your phone calls. And as we expected, there are a lot of comments, both pro and con. I would say more on the con side, but let me give you a sampling. From our Facebook community, Eamon writes, foie gras is shrink-wrapped torture, and anyone who supports this barbaric treatment of defenseless animals should be thoroughly ashamed. Bill writes, I love meat, duck, bacon. I'm not a vegetarian, not by a long shot, but we have an obligation to not create our meats in a way that is torture. And then, on the other hand, we have Phil, who says, already went to Goose and Gander in St. Helena last weekend to have some. Deborah says, stop anthropomorphizing. Geese are not humanity and do not have a gag reflex. Have you ever seen a duck just suck down a whole fish? If you eat beef, pork, chicken, or eggs, then you have absolutely no moral ground. These geese are raised in comfort. And by the way, I ought to mention that the new egg laws, this will not probably have effect on you. We've got a law banning the sale of eggs from hens being kept in small wire cages. At least the legal assessment at this point is it won't have effect. Another comment on our Facebook page, I'd like to just point out that the impact of the workers who create foie gras is something that matters. To suffocate or twist the necks of baby geese during the screening process would require one to shut off feelings of compassion or become inhumane. This process at the beginning of the foie gras is present in natural foie gras production. And then there's another listener who says, the truth about foie gras is it's nothing even approaching the cruelty. The feeding is twice a day, takes a few seconds. If anything, they have it better than every other animal we eat. You see the kind of polarization here that's shaping up. Another listener online writes, seems that most of the comments on here at the moment are against foie gras for ethical reasons. Makes me wonder how people feel about veal. Veal is still very present in the restaurant scene, but the production of it is comparable to foie gras. The calves often don't even have a chance to turn around before they are force-fed and slaughtered. A few more comments I'll read, and then I'll go to your calls. A listener writes, just don't know how anyone is capable of defending the production and consumption of foie gras. What a horrific product of suffering it is. Something is so wrong with a society that can simultaneously enjoy ducks as cartoon characters, but at the same time turn around and pay people to commit a heinous act of cruelty on them. Sickening, sickening, sickening. Another listener writes, no male is worth this amount of suffering. I will not dine in any restaurant that serves foie gras. And let me go to your calls. And let's begin with a caller from San Jose. Akeem, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. To put it in perspective, how would we feel if our pets, our dogs, were fed through a tube? No matter what, it does not feel humane.
Okay. I thank you for that call. Do you want to respond to the caller, Ken Frank? I mean,
sure.
Because a lot of this does come down to the force feeding through that tube.
Well, let's get right to the point. It's very easy to spin force feeding and shoving a tube down an animal's throat is a terrible thing. But in fact, tube feeding of waterfowl is a veterinary practice that is used often when they're trying to save oiled birds from oil spills. Veterinarians, in fact, have said that the foie gras industry has perfected tube feeding to the point where the rate of injury is infinitesimal. There are, you know, you can cherry pick your scientists.
Well, but there is a 20 times higher mortality rate, as Paul Shapiro said, right?
Unsupported by facts. Absolutely.
Oh, come on,
unsupported.
Ted, you know that's not true.
Paul, I will note that you did not and will not, you don't have the guts to say on the air that Hudson Valley sells a diseased product. You repeat lies over and over and over. Because if you keep doing that, sooner or later, some people will believe them. It is not a diseased product, and I dare you to state on the air that it is.
Well, what about that figure of 20 times, Paul Shapiro? Where does that come from? Where's the empirical evidence for it? I keep seeing it over and over again.
It comes from the European Union's Scientific Veterinary Commission, which found that the effects of force feeding can be even lethal in some of these cases, that the mortality rates varies from 2 to 4% in the two-week force feeding period compared to around 0.2% in non-force-fed ducks. So that is a 10 to 20-time increase in the mortality rate. It comes from a very reputable scientific body that studied these issues, and rather than just relying on sound bites, we can look at what the science actually says, which we're doing right now, and it's indisputable. There's a much higher mortality rate that you would expect to see when you are force-feeding these animals multiple times a day for multiple weeks.
All right, I want to bring more callers on. We're going to go up to Cambridge, Massachusetts. Noah, you're on. Good morning.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Mr. Shapiro, I agree that force feeding for foie gras is cruel, and I absolutely hope it's banned. But aren't there other cruel practices in the meat industry, too?
Thanks, Noah. I appreciate your call and your question. And the short answer to your question is yes, of course. The meat industry has rampant animal welfare problems. The foie gras industry is also part of that industry, has serious problems. And before we get to that, I should point out that foie gras facilities are factory farms, too. Nearly all the foie gras produced in the U.S. comes from a factory that raises more than 250,000 animals each year. The birds are confined indoors. During the force feeding process, they're kept in small pens so that they can't escape the people who are force feeding them and so on. So these are factory farms as well. But yes, the chickens and pigs and turkeys and other farm animals, there are huge animal welfare concerns in those industries too, and that's why groups like the Humane Society of the United States and others are combating cruelty in those industries. Contrary to Ken's point about this being one easy target, foie gras being an easy target, the vast majority of the focus on farm animal welfare in our country is actually not on this issue, but on the issue of what happens on egg factories and on pig factories and so on. That's why Californians not only have banned force feeding for foie gras, but they've also banned these small wire cages for chickens and pigs and in the veal industry as well. And other states should follow California's leadership role that it's taken and pass similar legislation to help all farm animals, ducks, chickens, pigs, and others.
Let me thank Noah for his call and read a couple of tweets here that are coming in. Ethan tweets, what the pro foie gras side doesn't seem to see is that the force feeding is banned, not foie gras. And another listener says the foie gras ban is based on white Eurocentric concepts of animal rescue rights. We live in a polyglot nation. Drop the ban. Maybe get that first tweet clarified a little bit. Is producing foie gras banned in California, Ken Frank, Paul Shapiro, either of you?
The recent ruling did not address production of foie gras in California, and that remains to be straightened out. It only addressed the sale.
Yeah, so the force feeding sheet issue is still up in the air. But Paul Shapiro, you're pretty confident, or you seem pretty confident, that this is going to wind up in the Ninth Circuit and the ban will be reinstated.
Yes, Michael, we're optimistic about that, but in direct response to that tweeter's tweet is that the practice of force feeding is what is banned in California. You can still sell duck or goose liver. In fact, there is a foie gras producer in Spain who produces this liver without force feeding the birds at all, and so that is not banned. So it's not that... you know, as Ken correctly pointed out, foie gras is not mentioned in the law because the law targets force feeding. It doesn't target the one product. But, Michael, to your question, yeah, we're optimistic about this getting appealed by Kamala Harris and going to the Ninth Circuit, which has upheld this law before. This ruling really only dealt with the federal preemption issue, and it took a very unprecedented view that force feeding is an ingredient of the final product, as if to make foie gras you just add a pinch of salt and a dash of a pipe down the throat, and voila, you've got foie gras. If force feeding really were an ingredient in the product, perhaps California's cruelty code that requires farmers to feed their chickens should be preempted too, because feeding would then be an ingredient in chicken meat too. So I don't think that this ruling can possibly stand. We're optimistic about the hopes that it'll face in the Ninth Circuit if Kamala Harris appeals it.
Well, by the way, Kamala Harris, I guess, announced today that she is running for Barbara Boxer's Senate seat. Let me just get that news into the mix here, and let me get more of your calls into the mix as well. Neil, join us. Hi.
Yeah, how are you doing? And I think your last speaker may have just touched on this. I'll call it a possible room for compromise. And he mentioned a farm in Spain, which I'll call it a free-range foie gras, for lack of a better term. And I'm wondering if your anti-foie gras guests have any other practices or associations or farms within the United States that they would endorse as, you know, less cruel or more humane, or is this sort of an all-or-nothing approach? And then I'll take that comment separately, but also...
That's a good question. Let me take your next comment, Neil, in a moment. I want to go to Paul Shapiro on that, because I've read about what's going on in Spain, and one wonders why it hasn't that practice hasn't become pervasive here or elsewhere, for that matter.
That's a great question, Michael, and thank you, Neil, for the call. There are no producers in the United States who are practicing the same type of foie gras production that this one producer in Spain is doing, which, again, does not involve force feeding. The birds are outside. And that's a question to ask the foie gras producers in the U.S. Why don't they adopt that method? Perhaps because it's more expensive and takes longer, although I'm not sure that people who are actually in the market to buy foie gras are that concerned about price sensitivity anyway. But it is a product that is much harder to come by, and it's a more expensive way to produce the product as well.
Forgive me, Neil, you had another point you wanted to make.
So quickly say, I believe that farm in Spain was the subject of a great This American Life piece, and the farm, I want to say, I'll call him the Goose Whisperer. Apparently, he can do it, but nobody else can, is sort of my understanding.
I might weigh in here.
This is Ken Frank.
He says he can do it, and nobody else can, but his claims are actually...
Suspect?
Suspect, I would say. And from what I've heard, the mortality rate on his farm is absolutely brutal. So we should be very cautious about endorsing it.
All right, let me thank the caller and go to another caller who's joining us from the nation's capital. Crystal, you're on. Good morning.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to comment that, you know, I really appreciate this conversation, especially you, Paul, because it maybe got me thinking. I have a good friend that I go to restaurants with all the time, and he orders foie gras. And I've always known something was wrong with it because it's not often on the menu, and the wait staff even has to whisper that it's an option. But after listening to what you're saying, I think you're absolutely right. This is a very cruel practice, and it should have been rightly banned. So let's hope that appeal comes through.
Okay. I thank you for your call, and I want to go to more comments from our Facebook page. Suzanne writes, I love foie gras and I love animals. I've seen the farms in France and they are ethically treated. John says, pathetic. Humans can rationalize anything. Just eat something else. And Tony writes, let the feast begin. Those animal lovers will ban everything if they get their way. Let the people and market decide. Don't dictate what you eat. Leave my taste to me. Chris says, if you're a vegan or vegetarian, I understand your argument and respect it, even though I still eat meat. For those of you shuddering because this particular delicacy is in the news, go learn how the rest of the meat you consume is produced before you call foul here. I don't know if that was a pun. It's all an unnatural process, and you can accept that. If you can accept that, then foie gras shouldn't be a problem for you. Couple other online comments. A listener writes, I won't even be able to listen to this show. It will make me so mad and upset to hear people try to defend eating this horrible product. What kind of a person could support this? Heartless, elite, privileged foodies, perhaps. And let me go to another comment online. How many people who order foie gras know how it's made? Is there any information that indicates that if people knew where it was from, would they continue to order it? A listener writes by email, I'm delighted that the ban has been overturned. No group should dictate what others may or may not eat. Ducks swallow whole fish, among other things. So the ones fed on these farms have a much less stressful life. Viva foie gras. And here's one more listener. Says, I've always heard that foie gras production is inhumane. It seems that way to me, but I'm not a duck. How can we know if the duck doesn't like the force feeding? Let me get another caller on here from San Jose. Stanley, you're on.
Hi, I'm actually glad that the ban's been lifted, so that I don't have to, you know, ask my friend to bring some foie gras back from Europe. It's really delicious. Have your listener Paul or yourself had foie gras before?
I have not.
Thanks for the question, Stanley. No, I've never tried foie gras, and I certainly wouldn't try it. I've heard from other people who say that they find it repulsive to eat, and I've heard from people like you who say that they enjoy eating it. And I think that even if there is an enjoyment to be had from eating it, the amount of suffering that is caused to the animals in the process of making it should be an ethical consideration, that what we choose to eat can have a real moral consequence in the world, and we can choose to make the world a better place or a more miserable place when we sit down to eat. And at least by avoiding foie gras, we can do at least some small part to avoid causing so much suffering to animals.
Okay, we've just got seconds left. I want a final word from Ken Frank. Ken?
Well, you know, when the ban was overturned in Chicago, Dr. Lawrence Berthoff, who's the past president of the New York State Veterinary Medical Society, wrote, based on my years of experience caring for animals and my many experiences observing foie gras farming firsthand, it is my professional opinion that foie gras production as practiced at Hudson Valley Foie Gras is humane and in the mainstream of American animal agriculture. I have no reason to believe that the situation at either of the two other foie gras farms in the United States is any different.
Well, leave it there. The debate continues. Thanks, Ken Frank, chef and partner in Napa's La Toque restaurant. Thanks, Paul Shapiro, vice president of Farm Animals Protection at the Humane Society. And thank you, our listeners. Another hour up ahead, we're going to talk with law professor and criminologist Frank Zimmering about shooting police and police shooting citizens when we return on Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.